You forgot to mention that I'm also a daughter of God. So this morning, I thought that, well, actually, Barney asked me to teach on this. I got to teach on Thursday at their home, and God's really been working in my heart a lot of things about how to deal with frustration. Do people get frustrated in this room? Do you ever get disappointed in, you know, circumstances not working out the way you want, or, you know, you just feel like you're banging your head against a wall over and over and over and over again? Because I do. I struggle with frustration. And you know what? God has been showing me that He does not want us to be frustrated, ever. And He does not want us to be disappointed. And He's given us His word so that we can, first of all, avoid getting in the situation to begin with before we get frustrated. But if you do find yourself there, ways to get out. And that's what I'm going to be sharing on today. And just to make sure that you understand, frustration is not from God. Sometimes we get tricked into thinking like, well, I'm just frustrated. It's okay. You know, I'm not angry. I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated with this person because, you know, I see them as such a wonderful son of God, but they're not living it. Oh, I'm so frustrated. And, you know, sometimes I would get convinced that that was justifiable to be frustrated about a really good end result. It's a good thing to see your brother or sister in Christ as God sees them. But if it's causing you to be frustrated, then something is wrong. Because that's not from God. So I want to read a verse to you. It's John 16, verse 33. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. You can read along with your King James if that's what you have. And this is Jesus Christ talking, and He says, I have told you these things so that in Me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident and certain and undaunted, for I have overcome the world, and I have deprived it of the power to harm you and have conquered it for you. We have Christ within us. That means it is possible to overcome any kind of frustration, any kind of trial, any kind of distress or tribulation. It is available, and it is God's desire for our lives because we have Christ within us, and He has overcome the world and everything in it. So I'd like to give an illustration. I gave this on Thursday, and I'm going to expand a little bit too. But frustration to me is like having your dream home right in front of you, say like 20 feet in front of you. It's perfect. You have the front porch with the rocking chair and the swing and, you know, a big wide open door, and it's 5 bedrooms, 3 baths, whatever your heart's desire is, and it's right in front of you. You can see it so clearly. So what do? I want to go to my house. So I start walking, and I'm walking, and I trip. Darn it. Okay. So I get back up, and I keep walking. Bam! A wall, this invisible wall, starts getting in my way, and I bang into it. I'm like, what the heck? Here's my house that I want to go to. It's a good thing. But yet, all these things keep getting in my way. I try to take another step. The floor caves in. You know, like just over and over and over. We try to take these steps to get to our desire, and yet we keep getting hurt, either physically, if I'm trying to go to my house, or even in my heart, I get disappointed and I get frustrated. So that to me is what frustration is. It's when you see something that you desire and you expect and you want, and all these things keep coming up to prevent you from getting it. And you don't know why either a lot of times. You're just so frustrated. And, you know, we don't have to do that because God will help us to get to that desire. And you know, what comes to mind too is that we have to check what our initial desire is with God first. Sometimes we think we want something and it's so great, but really God knows what's best. And unless we're lined up with Him, we're not going to know if that end result is really what we need and what is best for us. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. As we are delighting in God, our delights become aligned with God's delights. And it's like this continual cycle. Our delights are God's delights. God delights in what we delight in. And therefore, we are aligned with God, and he will bring to pass the desires of our heart. Let's go to Psalm 62. So if we are getting frustrated, it's usually because our expectation is not being met. We expect something of a person. You know, it happens in marriage a lot. You expect your husband to bring you flowers, and he doesn't. Or you expect your wife to make you dinner, and you come home, and there's no food on the table. You expect your child to obey you, but they repeatedly do not. We set these expectations of people a lot of times, or situations, or even of ourselves. You know, we set goals for ourselves and we expect to do them. But what God says our expectation is in Psalm 62, verse 5. It says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Our expectation, no matter what the situation, no matter what the relationship, has to be from him. If we expect things of people without having God there, you're going to get disappointed. You're going to get hurt because we all fall short. We all make mistakes. And God right here is saying, I'm your expectation. Make me your expectation. You know, and wait upon me to bring things to pass. A lot of times with frustration is we want things to happen right now. Right now. And we get frustrated because they're not happening in the time that we want it to happen. But it says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Don't wait on your paycheck. Don't wait on another person to change. Don't wait on anything in this world, but wait, hope in God. And that verse, the expectation and waiting, it's an act of looking forward. Looking forward at God. A lot of times we get tricked into looking at the end result of things, even if it's a good result. But we get so focused on, well, I'm going to get that job. That's the job that I want, and I'm going to get it. And then, you know what happens? Sometimes we don't get that job, and we're disappointed because we were so focused on that job that we forgot to look at who God is and look at God and say, God is going to meet my needs. God is going to get me a job. God is going to get me the house that I need to live in. God is the one who will heal my heart. It has to be about God. It can't always be about the end result. Yes, we need to confess God's promises, but confess them in light of who God is and not the end result, because that will help your heart to not be disappointed and to not get frustrated. Let's go to Psalm 42. Verse 11 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Do you think David was a little frustrated there? Why art thou cast down, my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? It's like you're grumbling. A lot of times with frustration, you end up grumbling. And I remember that we're not supposed to have any murmurings or disputings. That even means in your own mind. So here's David just being so honest, like, oh, I'm frustrated, God. But he brings it back and says, you know what? Hope thou in God. He's telling himself, he's instructing himself, you know what? I have to hope in God. I have to wait on God in this situation. And what else did he say? I shall yet praise him. That is another key when we are in a situation where we are getting frustrated, praise God, because praise brings all the attention back on God. It takes it off of yourself, it takes it off of the situation, and it puts it on Him. And I don't know if, I mean, I like to sing, and when I sing, I let it go. And it's the same act with your cares. Part of that, I believe, is so why God always encourages us to praise, is because it's an act of letting go. You're praising God. It's like, oh, God, You are so wonderful. God, I magnify You because You have done so much for me. And, you know, you let it go with your breath. You let it go with your whole body when you're really getting into praise. And that's what God wants us to do so that He can take our burdens from us. We have to praise Him to let it go. And it's just another key that God gave us to overcome any kind of frustration or distress that we're in. Because He is our God. We have to know who God is in order to trust Him. We have to know what He will do for us in order to let things go. And like we've heard in manifestations and in the prayers today and what Alice had said, God is all good. He will not withhold any good thing from you. When He does something, it is in your best interest and it is complete. There is nothing lacking. When we do things, there are things lacking. We forget things or we slip up or, you know, we have a misunderstanding, whatever. When God does things and when we hope in Him and when we wait on Him, it's perfect. And He will heal your heart and He will take care of your heart so that you don't face disappointment. Another thing we're supposed to hope in not only is God, but His Word, because He has revealed Himself in His Word. Psalm 135 says, I hope in Thy Word. You know, that's another thing you can put your trust and your hope and your expectation is in God's word and His promises. If He says He will heal you, He will heal you. There is no question. There is no doubt. And you can hope in that. And that can be your expectation. It's not even the healing you can expect. It's that God will heal you. It has to be about God and what He promises. Let's go to Psalm 121. Says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So, see, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. David's looking like, where's my help coming from? And it's from the Lord. That's what he's looking at. That's who he's looking for to come through for him. Not another person, not his job. He's looking at the Lord to be his help. And he's acknowledging who God is. God made the heaven and the earth. Of course he's going to come through for me. Of course he can do this for me. Nothing is too big for God. And God will preserve thee. He will preserve thee not only with your finances, with your physical health. He'll preserve your heart. Because I think the biggest thing with frustration is it's such a heart thing. You know, it gets started where we get disappointed over and over again. And then we get frustrated because things aren't working out the way we want. And then sometimes that can lead to anger or resentment. Or, you know, we can't hear from God anymore because we're still butting our head against the wall. And that sound of our head banging against the wall is drowning out God's voice. You know, like it happens. And a lot of what the adversary tries to do with frustration is he tries to get you to give up. He will try to get you to give up on a relationship. Or he will try to make you give up on healing. He will try to make you give up on trying, on seeking God, because you get frustrated. But that is not what God wants from us. He does not want us to give up. He wants us to seek him and to hope in him continually. It is a continuous process that we have to go through for everything on our heart, because it is such a heart thing. And God wants our hearts to be whole. He wants us to have joy and to have peace. You know, that's what that first verse I read is. We have peace and confidence because of Jesus Christ. And we cannot let the adversary steal that from us. And one way he does that is getting us frustrated. So I say no. No more frustration. And kind of back to my analogy with like taking steps towards my dream home. There are tons of verses, especially in the Psalms. We'll go to Proverbs 16:9. But there are tons of verses where God continually assures us that he will be the one to direct our steps, that he will be the one to make the ground solid. I think we heard that in the manifestations today, that he has put us on solid ground. And when we go to God, he will show you the step to take to get to your dream house, to get to your desire. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Of course, we all have plans, and we're going to continue to make plans. We're going to devise our own way. But really, God is the one who needs to be directing our steps. And how do we know what the steps are? We have to ask God. You have to ask God. Ask God what direction to go in. Ask God what's really going on in my heart right now. Show me, reveal things to me so that I can get back in the line that you want me to be in and the path that you have already ordained for me to walk in, so that I can do those good works and so that I can have those desires that you have placed on my heart. But we have to ask God. And for some reason, it's very hard for us to ask God for certain things. Yeah, we can ask God for money, or we can ask God for a new home. But when it comes to things of the heart, we're not always so forthright. You know, sometimes we need to ask God to help us to forgive somebody. We need to ask God to give us courage to face a situation that we don't want to face. We have to ask God, what words do we say to this person who just hurt me? What do I do? A lot of times we just go off what we think we should do, or we react out of emotion. But what we need to do is ask God. We need to ask him, seek him, and knock. Like in Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall receive, or knock and it shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. That's what God wants to do for us, but we have to take that action to ask God and not devise our own steps all the time, because those steps are not solid when we think of them. But when God is directing them and he is the one showing us, I promise that you will not fall. And God promises. Don't take my promise. Take God's promise. He will not let us fall, ever. Let's turn to Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Be not discouraged. Be not frustrated. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. There's a common theme here. It's I, meaning God, I, not me, Katie, I. It's God will strengthen us. God will uphold us. God will hold our hands as we're walking, taking those steps that he's shown us to take. And we don't have to have fear. I believe a lot of the root of frustration is fear. We have fear of things not working out. So we try to devise our own ways, and that's when we get frustrated. Or we have fear of someone not fulfilling these desires that we have, and we get frustrated over and over and over again. But God says not to fear, and he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what you have available, but it is a choice that you have to make. Are you going to manifest the spirit that God has given you, or are you going to let the world have its way with you and the old man dominate? It's always about your choice, and God never forces us to do anything. And you know what? We can't force anyone else to do anything. So that's another little culprit of frustration, is when we try to make someone do something that they don't want to do. And to overcome that, we have to trust God, that He is at work, that He is in work in people's hearts and in situations, and that He will be the one to direct their heart, not us, but God. God has to be the one to do everything. He is our everything, and He will show you what you need to do along the process, but ultimately it is God who will energize, and God who will strengthen, and God who will lead if you want to have a good outcome. Now, I just want to go to the book of Habakkuk. Good luck finding it. It's towards the end of the Old Testament, in between a lot of the little books. It's not a book you probably read every day. But for some reason this week, God just kept putting it on my heart, read Habakkuk. And I'm like, why? Why, God? Why do you want me to read Habakkuk? That's so random. But things with God are never random, as we all know. But Habakkuk was a prophet, and there are three chapters to Habakkuk, and we are not going to read all three chapters. But if you want to at home, go for it. It's a really, really interesting read. But Habakkuk, to me, God was showing me this was a prophet who got frustrated, and this is what he did to overcome it. So I'll just read a couple verses throughout. I'll kind of skip around, but I'm going to be reading from the NIV version too, so it might sound a little different. Habakkuk chapter 1. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. Verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. So there's Habakkuk. He's having a conversation with God, and he's frustrated, very frustrated. How long do I have to wait for you to work, God? Can you hear me? What is going on? Why is there all this iniquity? Why is evil going unpunished? Is basically what he's talking about. There's a lot of evil going on during this time. And verse 5 is what God answered to him. He said, look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. That's God's answer to him. You want to know what I'm doing? Take a look around. See my work. Wonder and be astounded. Because God is at work. In Philippians it says, God is at work both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He is at work within each and every one of us. He is at work within each and every one of his children throughout the whole world. And if you want to look at all the junk that's going on in the world, you can. Or you can choose to look at God and the work that he is doing in everybody's individual lives and in their hearts. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in, oh, there's division, or the word of God isn't moving, you know, the way it used to. But God is still at work, and we can't let what we see frustrate us or get us to the point where we aren't allowing God to work within us in our individual walk, in our individual steps that we take. Because that is how the body of Christ will work together, is when each and every one of us is allowing God to work within us and to take each step forward, moving. But it has to be individual. We can't get caught up in looking at all the evil and all the iniquity and all the division and all the wrongs, and this person's doing that, and, you know, he's not doing this. We can't get caught up in that. We have to continue to look to God as our help. And look to God to direct our individual steps. That should be your concern. Is God, show me. Teach me to take the next step so that I can glorify you. I'm not going to worry about someone else. I'm going to worry about me and walk with you. Because walking with God is such a blessing. And you get everything you would ever need when you walk with God. Okay, so chapter 2. Habakkuk kind of goes on. He listens to God, and he's still complaining, actually, even after God said that. Like, well, what about this, God? And what about that? And these people are evil. And what do you mean? What do you mean it's not happening right now? But then he draws himself back. And verse 1 of chapter 2 says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. He brought back his heart to look to God, to look to God and to wait for God to answer and for God to work. And that was a choice that he had to make. And it's a choice that we have to make when we're confronted with frustrating situations. Verse 2 says, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. How true is that when, in any of our situations with God? When he says something will come to pass, it doesn't always come to pass immediately. But he says, it will surely come and it will not delay. It will come at just the right time. The answer you need, the deliverance you need, it will come at the right time. And God's not slowing down. He's already working, and it will be there when you need it to be, but you have to choose to trust that. Verse 4 says, behold, his soul is puffed up. He's talking about the evil people. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. Have we heard that verse before in the New Testament? Hasn't changed. We live by faith, and sometimes we have to walk out on steps, and we don't know what the next step will be. But we have to believe God, and we have to believe that he will be there for us, that he will uphold us, that he will hold our hands, that he will show us what is right, even if we can't see it yet. That, you know, that's part of faith. Sometimes you can't see the end result even, or the next step. But when we have our trust in God, and when we have our eyes fixed upon him and not the end result, then it's a lot easier to trust God. And you get better and better and better at it. Just like, you know, Titus and Elizabeth will be learning how to walk and will be holding their hands, you know, as they teeter and they take these first few steps. And, you know, they are going to get better and better and better and better as they try. It's the same thing with us. God is right there holding our hand, showing us where to walk. He's not going to let us fall. And we will get better and better and better at this. And we will see God's power in our lives. And we will see it in each other's too if we all do this. And I really believe that God is just encouraging us as a people to trust him more and more and more. And not let frustrations, not let relationships or brokenness stop us. But turn to God. Give him your whole heart. And let him energize you. Let him energize that situation. Let him work. Don't do it in your own strength. Don't do it with your own plans and your own ideas, because they will not work. You will be disappointed and you will get frustrated. And remember, frustration is not from God. It's not. So we have to overcome it. And you know what? We don't even really have to overcome it, because Jesus Christ already overcame it. We just have to let that Christ in us take over and let that Spirit of God live and abide forever. And we can do that. We can do it. God wouldn't ask us to do something that we were not able to do. Let's finish up in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe that God is, that he is what he says he is. He is not a man that he should lie. He is our provider. He is our help. He is our deliverer. He is our heavenly Father. We must go to him knowing that and believing that and trusting that. And that takes faith, which, you know what? We have the faith of Jesus Christ. It's already there. And God will reward us for doing that. When we diligently seek him, he will reward us. He will give me that dream house that I want. He will give you the desires of your heart when you delight in him and you are in a line with him. When your expectation comes from him. When you are asking him, Father, what step do I take next? Father, help me. Father, strengthen me. Father, it's all about you. What can I do for you? And God will diligently reward you for that. And one last little phrase that I've just fallen in love with, let God be God. Let God be God. Stop trying to be God and change somebody. Stop trying to be God and change your own self. Stop trying to be God and change a situation. But let God be God. Let him do the change. Let him do the work. And you'll have that dream house. So I love you guys. Thank you very much.